It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another great edition of the Secrets of Staffing Success, brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to take a minute to thank everybody for their great feedback that we received on our very first episode with Jennifer Lambert from Terra Staffing Group. She really knocked it out of the park and set the bar very high for all of our future guests. So I want to thank Jennifer again and thank all of you guys who have reached out to us and said what a great job we did on that first episode. We are now on all the different platforms. So you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Stitcher. So now all of the most recent episodes of Secrets of Staffing Success can be sent right to your phone or any device that you're using to listen to podcasts. So while you're in there too, if you wouldn't mind, just drop us a quick review. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell us any ideas for future topics or future guests that you'd like to see featured on Secrets of Staffing Success. So with all that out of the way, let's get to this week's guest, the Vice President of Sales and Operations for OTS Holdings, which includes Inner Solutions, NPM Staffing, and On-Time Staffing. He is Drew Golan. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Todd. Great to be here.
All right. As we like to do with all of our guests, kind of give everybody an idea of OTS Holdings, who you guys are, what you guys do, and give us your, 60-second elevator pitch.
Sure. Great. Thanks, Todd. So OTS Holdings is made up of four different brands, On-Time Staffing, Inter Solutions, NPM Staffing, and People Logistics. On-Time Staffing focuses on light industrial. Inter Solutions and NPM Staffing focuses on the property management apartment industry. And People Logistics works with companies to advise them of how to set up their HR departments much better and much more efficient. So those are the four brands. I focus on the property management side of the business, Inter Solutions and NPM Staffing. And what we have is together we're able to support a management company, which is OTS Holdings, which provides all the services that a staffing company would need with being able to scale up the business. We have a legal department, HR, payroll, marketing department. So those combined groups are able to share these resources to run a really effective and efficient business.
And from what I've learned about you, it appears there have been some very influential women in your life that have guided your career in the staffing industry. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was meant to be. I was literally probably born and into this industry. My mother, Patty, did staffing for over 25 years, administrative staffing in the Philadelphia area. She's a legend of staffing. So I would come home from school and hear my mom, convincing people to go to work or, talking to them, coaching them up about how to do a better job. And of course, collecting a lot of time. That was back in the day where people would send those three pieces of paper in and, with the different colors. And, so I grew up in a home where my mom was just on the phone all the time, late hours, early hours, on the weekends. And so I heard all this. And then, they like to say that you go out and you try to find someone, to marry, who's a lot like your mom. So I married a person, Sarah Walder, who had started her own staffing business. It was nothing like what my mom did. My wife, Sarah, she started this company in 1997, focusing just on the apartment business. The funny story about Sarah, for those people who know her, she's really innovative. She was working actually as a temp in Washington, D.C., and she was working at an apartment community, and the job was up after a year. About a week later, she got a call from the property manager, Diane, who said, "Hey, Sarah, we want you back." Sarah picked up the phone, called the temp company, and said she wanted a dollar raise. They pumped the typed the information into the system, said that wasn't going to work. So she said, "I will start my own company."
Wow.
And that's how Inter Solutions was born. So when I met Sarah, it was about 4 years into Inter Solutions, and we'd be out on a date, and she'd say, "I have to go because I have to sit at a front desk or I have to cover a shift somewhere." And I thought maybe she had another date at the same time, but this is nothing what my mother, the staffing my mother was doing. She had the apartment industry's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week business, especially in Washington, D.C., with concierge desks. So when we got married, we were only supposed to do this together for a little bit. Our plan was to work together for about 6 months to a year. And sell the company because I had come from, the hospitality background. And pretty soon we grew the company really fast. And, you know, 1 year turned into 3, 4. We added people to our team. Together we ran the company for about a decade, until we sold the company in 2011.
Yeah, you mentioned selling the company there, and I know you've stayed on, obviously, with the company. What brought about that decision to sell the company?
Yeah, so, you know, frankly, Sarah and I, we grew the company as far as we could grow it. We were actually holding it back. When you own a company and you're a mom and pop, right, you have to be great at everything, right? You have to be awesome at marketing and payroll and HR and legal. It just... You know, and especially financials. And what happened was we weren't having the fun that we were having the first few years of running the business, right? When we're the people staffing, right? And we're involved, you know, and we're directly involved with the clients and the associates. That's fun. I mean, it takes a lot out of you and you have to, you know, give up a lot in life to run a company and making sure that financially you're stable. You have to, make sure that, you know, all your bills get paid before you get paid. And you know, I remember a lot of times waiting by the mailbox to get those checks. And I'm sure a lot of people who own or started companies remember those days where you're, you know, waiting by the mailbox. And then back then you had to go to the bank and deposit the money, right?
I mean,
you know, so at some point we just decided that we were holding back, you know, which was essentially the company, which was our third child, right?
Yeah.
And we needed to work with a group that could grow the company and do best by our employees. A real funny antidote here is, my best friend from college, my roommate in college, runs our Philadelphia market, right? When 2 years into the acquisition, he was named Employee of the Year, and he stood up and he said, "My best friend sold the company, and it was the greatest thing that ever happened." So essentially, we just decided that we needed to put this company into place. And the way that we did our exit was that I was going to stay on for a few years. And what happened was about a year and a half into it, the group that acquired our company, we just decided to, you know what, this is working. I was much happier. I was, you know, the first July where I didn't have to go to the banking and get a new line of credit, et cetera. And I'm realizing, wow, I'm focusing more on the things that in year 1 through 3, I was able to do, working with clients, working on efficiencies in the business. I was able to be a part of it. And then, you know, being a part of all the other things of this exciting organization, you know, made it so much better. So my wife, Sarah, she left and really, you know, she founded this thing. And what I try to explain to our kids, which they don't really know their mother as someone who started this company, I say, you know, your mom did more in 14 years than most people do in a lifetime, you know, where, you know, her fundamentals are still here. And I got to tell you, you know, when you hand over the keys to someone, right, something that you've put all your blood, sweat, and tears into, no matter what someone gives you back in monetary value, right, it's never enough of what you're giving up in your, you know, your life.
Yeah.
And you're handing them that. And then, you know, the question is, are they going to change the values of your organization? What this group has done is they've made it so much better. I mean, not only because we're much bigger, right? They've essentially quadrupled the size of our organization. They've treated the people that we brought into the organization well. Most of them are still here after 6 years. You know, they've really made sure that the most important thing that we do, and years ago, Sarah said that if someone's going to work for us, our job is to give them the best chance to succeed. So how you measure yourself versus others is you say, if that person's walking in the door, I'm going to pay him. I'm going to pay him on time. That's priority number one. And number two is that they're going to have the best chance to succeed. And what does that mean? What we did was we decided everyone who worked in our organization was going to get trained. And we partnered with, in our space, the best training company. It's called Gracehill. So everyone comes in, and before they go to a job site, they're trained and they're ready to go out there. And we continue to try to give them the tools to succeed. So what this organization did in the acquisition was they continued that tradition, and they've expanded on some other areas. So it's really been, you know, it wasn't an easy decision. We had opportunities where we could have just handed the keys and I would have left, or we would have left, and that would have been it. You just watched it from abroad. Well, now I'm involved and we're involved, and it's just been a ton of fun, and every day feels like the first day of work. So it's been a really good experience.
I definitely want to go back to that employee training in a little bit here, but I'm curious, and you kind of just alluded to it. It had to be a bit of a culture change for you personally, going from, you know, like you said, the mom and pop to now you're part of this bigger conglomerate of businesses. What have you learned? Have you kind of treated this as a big learning experience now?
What haven't I learned? Right. You know, it's funny because in the first couple of years, we had some really fast success. Yeah. We the big change in year one or two is that we got a software, automated business design. They're based out of Chicago, great group of people. And it tripled our business with literally within months.
Wow.
So that first couple of years, I thought I knew everything, right?
Yeah.
So, you're a young couple, we're doing really well. And then you're like, how do you scale up the business? And we just got stuck. You know, we tried different ways and it just didn't work. It was, you know, we were stuck and we were flat. And when this group came in, at first they kind of let us do our thing, right? Because how do we bring cultures together? You know, if people who don't know staffing would think, well, you're both staffing companies, right? You have light industrial and you have property manager, you're both staffing. Well, it's completely different, right? You have a retail experience and versus an on-site experience. For me, it was very easy for me, frankly, not to have this ego that was saying, well, you were the boss and now you're part of the team and you have to answer to people.
Yeah.
First of all, I always answer to Sarah. So,
still do, probably,
so,
right?
Anyone after that was easy. But it, you know, it was my comfort zone, right? And I think some people it works for, some people it doesn't work for. And I don't think when you own a company, you're always answering to banks. You're answering to so many different areas. We had to make a decision. We made it. And then what have I learned? We never did budgets. I mean, I know that sounds silly. How do you run a business for so many years without budgets? You know, we actually worked off of cash basis just because it worked for Sarah and I. We learned budgeting. And I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I can't believe we didn't do that before, right? So we have budgets, you know, human resources. I have three doors down from me. I have in-house counsel. So instead of picking up the phone and getting billed $400 or $500 an hour, I sit down with a person and we're proactive, much more proactive. I have an HR department. I mean, amazing people, a marketing department. So you learn. And then I'll tell you the biggest thing I learned was that this group uses a communication system. It's called the Rockefeller Habits. And essentially, you know, there's a million different systems out there, I'm sure, but we've been using this one for as far back as I can tell. And you know, you do your 3 to 5 year planning and you do your annual planning and your quarterly planning and you have your projects and the way that you huddle in the morning and communication goes through the organization and people know their targets and their KPIs. I mean, that's how you're able to grow a business or add projects, right? And get things done where you're like, all right, you know, as an entrepreneur, you want to do everything, right? And you're just, you know, we call it chasing squirrels, right? You turn your head real quick, squirrel, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm the worst out of that. And this group, you know, shows you stay on point and then you keep it moving and you know where you're going and the speed of growth and success has just been outstanding. So I guess, I'm a person who loves being a part of a team. That's my background. I work in college sports and this has given me that, you know, there's been tons of relationships and friendships and the way they treat people has been amazing. So, you know, if you would have said to me 6 years ago what I know now, my business would have been much bigger. And the final point is the first time I met our CEO, and I introduced our CEO, Brian Karras, to my wife as we were, you know, courting, are we going to do this or not? I turned to her and I said, if you would have married this guy, you'd be triple the size by now. So you know, it's worked out for us.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Sarah doesn't even mention, if she mentions the company, you know, once a month, it's a lot. She just feels very comfortable, and we owe it to her to keep this thing moving forward.
That's such a great mentality, because I think there's so many people that are in the same position you are, where you get to a certain age and you think, I've kind of learned everything already. You know, it's funny. I just turned 40 last month, and I was in that
Happy
position.
Birthday.
Thank you. It's not as difficult as I thought it was going to be. But you know, I kind of really,
welcome to the club.
Yeah. I've really kind of embraced learning again, you know, and it probably a good 10, 12 years there where I kind of thought I knew everything, and I've really started reading more and embraced it more. So I think that's really great. And that's such a great story to share. But I think a lot of staffing owners are probably in that same spot where they think, geez, I've owned a staffing company for 20, 30 years. I've seen it all. I know it all. I can do this job in my sleep. That's not always the case. You know, there's always so much more that we can learn and take the business to another level. So I thank you very much for sharing that personal story there. I'm wondering, though, too, what types of challenges are there from managing, you know, several distinctly different companies, but all that fall under that same umbrella?
Yeah, the challenges are, you know, in every industry, you know, that we support, you know, there's different, first of all, in the same industry of, you know, geographies, there's incredible differences, right? Mm-hmm. In employment laws from state to state. Yeah. So, you know, that's just the complication of just running your own world, you know, your own piece of business. We're always trying to collaborate, right? Like, what do you do best in your space, and what could I bring to mind? So what we do a lot is we'll have quarterly rocks, right? We'll have these meetings once a week, and then we'll do projects on the side, and we try to bring the organization together, right? So the big challenge was, for years we were running on two different ATSs, right? And so it was almost like we had two different companies.
Wow. Yeah.
So in 2016, we combined one, and it's, you know, challenging. How do you put things in the system that are, you know, coordinating the same way? Again, if someone's looking from the outside, they're like, well, this is just staffing, you know, you should send anyone else. But we are two very specialized mindsets, right? We're obviously light industrial, you know, there's so many challenges in finding that workforce and communicating with that workforce. Whereas mine, you know, people are on their phones all the time, and you're able to really work with that group. But I will tell you one of the amazing things that's happened for our business, right, from learning from how these guys run light industrial, is that we've been way more focused on safety of our workers and contracts, right? So whereas Sarah and I, when we own the company, we would call the insurance company and say, all right, we need a certificate of insurance for this location. Are we insured? And they say, sure. And they send you this thing, and you'd send it in, and you'd sign anything. Whereas these guys, you know, we have in-house counsel, and they're saying, well, you may not be able to cover that. And it's important that, you know, you're looking at these contracts. So I think overall we've become a very, you know, we don't pretend to be the easiest company to work with from a client side we're just going to sign anything. Our team looks at every line and thinks about as many situations as we can and says, you know, can we support our customer and our associate the right way if something happens? And in the size of our organization, things happen. And then how are you responsive to that employee or that client or whatever? So you know, that's kind of, you know, you're running these different types of business, you're going different directions, opportunities come, you know, and you just have to be ready to handle as much as you can. But what's been nice is that we have really good resources behind us, and we're ready to even expand our business that much faster pretty soon.
The biggest challenge right now in the staffing industry, no doubt, is finding great talent, finding good candidates. You mentioned earlier that training program that you guys have in place. How are you guys using that as a differentiator to set yourselves apart from the competition?
Sure. So when we look at acquiring talent, first of all, in the last year, first of all, we all thought we knew how to recruit, right? Mm-hmm. You go back a couple of years, you can throw an ad, and people were lined up around the corner to come to your organization. Well, now flip it forward. We're, you know, having tons of meetings about this, like every other company out there. We've hired a director of talent acquisition, from the property management space. And we actually have a 7-day a week, team. We call it the TAD department, talent acquisition department. And they're recruiting 7 days a week, extended hours, et cetera. So wow. You know, that's a big change. But of course, what we're telling our associates is, if you come to us, we're going to prepare you on day one to work on site. Now, there's a thing in property management. It's fair housing, right? So you can just imagine if there's laws that govern and it's about discrimination, et cetera. And what we do is we require and we pay our associates prior to ever working for us. So they may never go to a job and we've paid them for their time. So there's a really big commitment the organization's making, plus the software sign up. And we're sending people out to these jobs and they are all fair housing certified. So every single person, whether you're a porter or a leasing consultant, a property manager, maintenance technician, concierge, you're all fair housing certified. And then depending upon the position, we offer further training through Grace Hill. And then in fact, our concierge department, we have a trainer that we brought from the industry, who's been training for over 20 years in the industry. Her name's Kathy Wiley. She's terrific. And, you know, our thing is we want to make sure that, you know, look, you're going to all these different locations. It's a retail experience. You don't necessarily know where you're going to go today or tomorrow. Mm. But when you get there, at least you're at some level where you can do your job, right? Mm. And then it's about the support that that all staffing companies offer with the staffing coordinators and your coaching. You go out there and you support your team. You ask questions. You try to figure out how to coach them through situations. And that's why our office, frankly, we've been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, someone in our office since I think about 2004. Mm. So that's the support to go along with the training and the coaching. And then in fact, we send out field managers who go to our communities and they'll ask questions and do that. And I know that's a little bit over the top for some industries, but for ours, we think it's just breathing.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, I want to ask Drew about what I think is a game-changing innovation from OTS Holdings. We'll be right back.
This is Brad Smith, Director of SEO and Social Media here at Haley Marketing Group. Thanks so much for listening to Secrets of Staffing Success. We're constantly testing new ways to use social media and digital marketing to improve recruiting and lead generation efforts. If you'd like to learn more about what works and what doesn't, please call us today at 888-696-2900. We'd be happy to share some great tips and advice, and thanks again for listening. Now let's head back to Todd.
Welcome back to the Secrets of Staffing Success. We're talking with Drew Golan from OTS Holdings. There's another innovation that you guys have, and the staffing industry, admittedly so, has been a little slow on the uptake when it comes to technology at times, but you guys really have jumped all in here with this mobile staffing app. How did that come about, and tell us a little bit more about how that works for you guys?
So the first, I took an Uber ride in New York City, I guess 4 years ago. I was at my cousin's wedding in New York City, and this guy turns to me and says, "Hey, we're going to one place to the other. Watch this thing. It's called Uber." I guess 4 or 5 years ago at this point. And I said, what is this? So you're in New York City. You're trying to hail a cab, right? It's middle of the winter. It's, you know, no one wants to hail a cab outside, right?
Yep.
And a driver comes in a car, we get in it, and he's like, "Watch this," and it's on an app. And I'm like, "What is this?" And essentially, it was a person who signed up, someone who wanted to give a ride to someone, and someone who needed a ride, right? So I'm in that car, and I was sweating in the middle of the winter, and I'm thinking to myself, this is where this is going, right? This is where staffing is going. If there's anything that's going to threaten our industry, it's the gig economy. Or it's a platform that's going to eliminate a staffing company, right? The need. It's the direct communication between the applicant who wants a job or a shift, you know, the gig economy, and the client who needs someone to come in there. Yeah. From that moment, and everyone on C-level, we're all taking Ubers at the same time. We had a meeting. This goes back a couple of years ago, and we said, we've got to make this move. We've got to, you know, mobile phones, you know, the flip phones were going away, and everyone was, you know, looking at everything was on their phone. And you're thinking, oh, you know, well, these people, you know, what percentage of people are on the phone? And as time went on, we've invested in having meetings and discussing it in organized ways. And we finally came upon a program that we think is a start. And essentially it allows our associates to put in their availability, to check in and check out. When they get to the location, it uses GPS. They take a selfie, facial recognition. They're putting their time through it. And of course, getting back to your, you know, the on-demand economy, they're accepting or rejecting jobs. So now, you know, everyone in staffing knows this. You have a job order, you have an applicant. When you marry them together, you have an assignment, and now it's out there, right? It's now doing it for you. It's doing that middle part. And the great thing about it is now your staffing coordinators become pool managers, right? So, you know, the way we look at our business, and this is really something that everyone at that table sits and realize, we want to make everyone efficient. And when you bring someone into your company, you want to say, well, here's the one or two or three things we need you to do, and you're an expert at this. And then what happens is actions 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they end up doing those, and it doesn't allow them to do the two or three great things that are awesome at. So we're trying to make our staffing people pool managers, right? You know, communicate, coaching. You know, we don't want them collecting time. We haven't been collecting time for 5 years. It's been automated for years now. You know, we want them to do the things and to be efficient. I mean, for perfect example would be, anything in our organization, we want to look at that and say, how do I make that individual more efficient? And that really has become my number one job, right? Mm-hmm. In this organization, is trying to look and say, you know, how can we become a more efficient in AR and onboarding? And this app is breathing for our industry. And really the fear that drives me is that I saw my parents, my father and grandfather and uncle lose their business because they missed out on an opportunity after having a meat business for 50 years. They got cut out of the middle because they started doing all the butchering in the Midwest and packing it in plastic. And that's what motivates us, motivates me every day to say, don't get too comfortable, keep it moving. And what you have to do is, you have to make sure that the people that are closest to the fire, and that's your staffing coordinators and your associates, you're giving them every tool to be as efficient as possible. And I think that as you look at the future of staffing and you look at where people are going, it's happening really, really fast. So, that's the app we have, and we've launched it, and we're launching it through our current business now. And we plan on entering other areas, with this platform, so that we can better service our associates, our clients, and make, most importantly, our staffing coordinators that much more efficient.
That's such a great message, sharing with your father and grandfather. I'm curious though, when you first came out with it, was there hesitation on both your candidates and your clients' part with using this new technology, or did they embrace it right away?
So right now, based upon how we've launched it, and again, we've just launched it.
Okay.
Fair, we're just really out there. The thing is, we've been planning on it for at least, really day to day, where we have a weekly meeting, and then you'll have groups, and I'm on the daily call. We have an amazing project manager. Her name's Anna Hayes, who's just keeps us all together, and we have a programmer, Sean Caraway. We have a team, right? That comes together. You have someone from finance. Where the hesitation? We're not putting our clients on the platform yet. We just because of a retail experience, we don't know. At some point we will, but it's been about the associate. Where the hesitation has been, well, I've been doing my job this way, and this has changed, and what we've done is we're creating contests around it. But we're able to see every time someone checks in and checks out, we're able to see, based where they are, GPS, that they're there at the location, but it makes it easier for them. We've always done check-ins, right? Mm-hmm. And now they just click it right there on their phone. But the accepting of the job is really where the assignment is really where we're starting to put more of our attention on. Can we get 50% of our job fills done through the app, right? When can we hit that area, that timetable? So, but think about all the efficiency, because now what you're doing is, in the way that the app rolls out is, and think about it from this way, you're not just sending it to everybody. You're saying, all right, I have an open job. I want these two people to get offered it first because these are the best candidates for the job, right? So it sends it out in waves. So wave one is those first two people. And then if they both decline it or 2 hours goes by, it then goes to wave two, which might be your 3 to 6 people. So now we feel that we're going to be able to staff more effectively. And that's why I go back to pool management. So, you have to have an organization that's willing to embrace change. We don't do it because we want to be funny or we want to be fancy. We do it out of fear, right?
Absolutely.
We know, look, I know 100%, and I don't care. You bring my competitors on the phone. I know that we deliver the best service out there. We've invested so much that you can invest in not cutting corners. That's our theme. We're reviewing contracts. We're sending trained people out there. We're doing detailed you know, background screening. I mean, I know where my position is, and my fear is that will technology take that away? You know, so it's always quality and technology. So when we wake up in the morning and we talk, it's not because we're like, oh, we just feel like being innovative. No, we're doing it because we know our place in this world. No one's going to take it, and we're just going to keep this thing moving forward. Mm. So that's really the attitude.
Last question before we go, and I'm almost hesitant to ask it to you because I think you're already there. You know, I plan on asking everybody that's going to come on this show this question about where is the staffing industry going and what will it look like in 2-3 years. But it almost feels like you guys are already there. I think you're so far ahead of the game here. But maybe kind of look a little bit to the future and beyond the app. Even you know, what will it look like in 2-3 years?
Yeah, the most interesting question I have is what are the ATSs going to look like in 2 or 3 years? Mm. Right? Do we need ATSs, right? Mm. Or like, why wouldn't you? Because everything can connect to each other, right? Like, if I want the best sales, you know, do I want the best CRM out there, right? Why not give it to my team, my sales team? Do I want the best payroll company? Do I, you know, payroll service or whatever it might be? You know, do I want the best HR system? Do I, you know, workers' comp system? Can I combine them? I mean, really, the question is, we are now in a place where we can get the best of the best. Now, that's 3 to 5 years. Where my concern is, you know, is where are we in 15 or 20 years, where now it's, you know, if you're a local supermarket that's been dominating for years and then Walmart moves to town, right? So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of consolidation and then really, you know, the tech play and artificial intelligence and things like that. So, you know, you have your tech and then forgetting everything else, you're going to have the expectation of those people in the workforce that they want things delivered to them fast. They want to get hired really fast and they want to get paid really fast, right? So if I'm driving an Uber, I'm signing up today, I'm driving around, I'm getting paid tomorrow or I'm getting paid tonight. I know what my expectations are. Or if, you know, if there's other, the gig economy is going to change everything, right? Yeah. And we have to be focused on that type of experience for the worker and the client. So, you know, it's exciting, but it's going to happen even faster. I mean, think about where we were 5 years ago where, you know, if you're still accepting timesheets via fax and you're listening to this, it's moving way faster than that, right? Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen a fax machine in years, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at the experiences. I mean, it's just all about speed and efficiency, and people want, the client's going to expect convenience, the associate's going to expect convenience, and that's where we're working towards as an organization. So I'm interested to hear these other podcasts because I think it's going to be exciting to hear what different people are saying.
Well, Drew, I honestly can't thank you enough for sharing your insight into some of those challenges that come with managing multiple companies and sharing just how innovative you guys are right now and forward thinking. If you'd like to know more about Drew and OTS Holdings, you can check out their website at otsholdings.com. And from there, you can also visit all the sites of their other companies. Drew, thank you so much for all the insight. Continued success for you and your team at OTS. And even for a Temple guy, you're okay.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
I didn't mention that I went to St. Bonaventure, so I wanted to hold that to the end.
Bodies.
There
go
you go.
Bodies,
I,
right?
Were you there? Right. Were you there when we threw a cookie at John Chaney's head?
So not only was I there, but I'm on the bench and I picked up all the cookies. And I said to my buddy Gus, I said, I'm not picking up that cookie. And he said, I'm not picking up that cookie. And Coach smashed. I mean, remember, we were on the foul line then.
Yep.
And he got a T, and then you guys got a T, and then we lost, and then I had to convince him not to yell at everybody there about, you know, something. But that was very memorable. And who gives away cookies as a giveaway? I mean, what's up, Bonnie?
Hey, if we have the means, we will use them as a weapon. And Chaney was always one of our good targets. That was the Temple Bonaventure games at the Riley Center were some of my most fun memories of college.
I've never seen grass. It's always been snowing when we've been there.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, get down to Olean in the summertime. It is a beautiful city. So thank you so much for the time, Drew.
Thanks, man. Take care, buddy.
Thanks for allowing me just to reminisce with a former fellow A10 member there for a little bit there. Yes, we actually did throw a cookie, and I know who it was. Threw a cookie at John Chaney's head one time at a basketball game. But that's a different story for a different podcast. My biggest takeaway from what Drew said was the way they differentiate with candidates. And we're going to talk about this a lot in future episodes about How do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace? But most of that is going to circle around differentiating yourselves with clients and against your competitors. What I loved about what Drew talked about is how they differentiate themselves with candidates. And I think that's so important. I think we so often kind of just think of candidates as, well, they're just a warm body. And unfortunately, that's kind of the reputation that comes along with it sometimes. We need to remember to always be selling to candidates. If you're not selling to your candidates, guess who is? Your competitor down the street. So think about the things that Drew does at OTS. Employee training from day one. Fair Housing certified. They have a support team in place for candidates. They coach candidates through issues. I thought that was really unique. How many times does a candidate come to you with a problem and maybe you just kind of blew them off and, you know, put a different candidate in their place if they couldn't handle it? And he said the biggest threat to staffing is going to be the gig economy and what they've done to develop this app now, which is another huge differentiator with candidates. Candidates have the ability to put in their availability, accept jobs, check in, check out. That's a game changer. So when we think about ways to differentiate yourselves, don't just think about how to differentiate yourselves with clients. Think about how to differentiate yourselves with candidates. What can you do to make the candidate experience that much better so that candidates will not only want to work with you, they're going to tell their friends about you too. They're going to tell their coworkers about you. And people are going to be knocking down your door. Qualified people, let me put that in front of you. Really qualified people are going to be knocking down your door because of what you do for candidates. So I think that's a really important lesson there to think about. And you know, next time you get your team together, start thinking about that a little bit. What can we do to make this candidate experience a little bit better? All right, my huge thanks to Drew Golan from OTS Holdings. Again, you can check them out, otsholdings.com. And you can check us out at haleymarketing.com. And as I said at the beginning, this podcast can now be found on iTunes. It can be found on Stitcher, on Google Play. So wherever you get podcasts sent to your phone, we're there now. So if you don't mind just leaving a quick review of the show, tell us what you think, what you like about the show, any future topics you'd like to see us covered. That'll do it for this week of Secrets of Staffing Success. We will be back in 2 weeks with another great guest and thought leader in the staffing industry. Thanks for listening.